if you were to get into a time machine and travel back to 1925, you'd see that in some ways the world is different than it is now. In some ways, it's kind of the same story. 1925, the world was still recovering from World War I, particularly in Europe. Here in America, it was the Roaring Twenties, but there was still a lot of brokenness, huge loss suffered throughout World War I. And now there was a change in ideology. There was a rejection. There was a kind of reaction to the events of World War I and a rejection of kind of the old way of governance, the old way of thinking. And so secularism was creeping in. Socialism was creeping in. The roots of fascism and communism were creeping in. And what was being thrown out, the baby was being thrown out with the bathwater. And even the church itself was under attack. Religion was under attack. Not just in Europe, but also in various other parts of the world. South America was enduring great wars of independence and struggling with the idea of communism, socialism. And even in Mexico, the same thing was going on. A great persecution of the church was going on in Mexico. And there was a group of Catholics who were fighting the government called the Cristeros, the Cristero movement. And as much as the church was persecuting, executing priests, dragging them out in the street and shooting them, these Cristeros were going against the government and trying to support priests and protect them. And their battle cry was Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. Viva Cristo Rey. In the face of destruction, in the face of death, in the face of sorrow, Viva Cristo Rey. And there was one man in particular, he's now blessed, Miguel Pro, who was a young priest who was ministering to the people of Mexico City. He was eventually captured, and he was executed in front of a firing squad. But the president of Mexico, when he captured him, he was expecting Miguel Pro to beg for mercy, to beg for forgiveness. And so during the execution, he invited all the press to come and to record this execution, his act of bestowing mercy on Miguel Pro when he broke down and cried and asked for mercy. And that way that he could show what a great guy he was. But something else happened altogether. Miguel Pro knelt down in front of the firing squad and held a crucifix. And after he was done praying, he kissed it and stood up and spread his arms out. He said, Viva Cristo Rey. And he was shot and killed. He was a man who was completely dedicated to this idea of Christ being king. Being king in the midst of, and not in spite of, but in the midst of death, sorrow, destruction. But if Jesus Christ really is king, why does that happen? Why does it look like the bad guys always win or appear to win? Why was Pontius Pilate victorious on that day? It's a question that was a temptation of Jesus, even all the way back when he was driven out into the desert. You know, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. If you only worship me, I can make you the king of the universe. And even when he gave the people the bread, the multiplication of the loaves and the bread, they wanted to go and make him king. But that was not God's plan. He's a different kind of king. And when Pilate asked him, are you a king? Jesus' response, you say that I am a king. But my kingdom is not of this earth. So you go back to 1925, and you, in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of the rejection of any kind of authority of the church, any kind of authority of God, of Jesus himself, Pope Pius XI institutes the feast that we celebrate today, the solemnity of Christ the King of the universe, as a reminder to Catholics throughout the world that Jesus is the King. That Jesus is the King of the universe, and not just in heaven, but on earth now. But here we are celebrating this king, so it should be, you know, we think of royalty, we think of palaces and majesty and splendor. And what does the church present us with? The same kind of king that Jesus claimed to be, a crucified one. His throne is a cross. His crown is of thorns. And yet, he's not a king of weakness. He's a king of power immeasurable beyond what we could imagine. But what this feast presents us with today, and the whole point of why Pius XI gave us this feast at the end of our liturgical year before we enter into Advent, is to make us ask that question, is he really a king? Is he my king? Or is it just a nice kind of thought idea that, yeah, I'm sure at some point I'll meet him as my judge, but is he my king today? If the bullets were aimed at me, could I say Viva Cristo Rey? It's a tough question. And that's what the church presents us with today. Is he your king? And if so, is it manifested throughout your life? Are you a person of prayer? Are you a person who submitted all of your life to God and not just tucked part of your heart away and reserved it to yourself? Those are the questions we need to ask and we need to answer. Is he our King? Viva Cristo Rey.